good now?
Yes.
All your duties now that you're back up here.
I got writing all this down.
Oh, can I have Councilman Marine, please? Councilman Marine, I would like to present you with this award for all of your years of service. I truly appreciate all that you've done to help me and help the town move forward, and I hope that we can continue you helping us move forward. And I'll miss your. I know. For you, I'm going to take our picture.
David.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next, if I can have David Scott Phillips, please stand. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, David Scott Phillips.
I, David Scott Phillips.
Hereby solemnly swear.
Hereby solemnly swear.
That I will diligently and faithfully.
That I will diligently and faithfully.
With favor, partiality, or prejudice.
With favor, partiality, or prejudice.
Perform the duties of the council member of the town of Fettlesburg.
Perform the duties of a council member of the town of Fettlesburg.
Without.
Without. I kind of thought, but you know, I was following your lead there, Madam Mayor.
Thanks, Christy.
Sorry.
I made an addiction zone now. All right, can I have Robert Willoughby, please? I, Robert Willoughby.
I, Robert Willoughby.
Hereby solemnly swear that I will diligently and faithfully.
Hereby solemnly swear that I will diligently and faithfully.
Without favor, partiality, or prejudice.
Without favor, partiality, or prejudice.
Perform the duties of the council member of the town of Fettlesburg.
Perform the duties of the council member of the town of Fettlesburg.
All right, sir, you are duly installed. You can have a seat. Thank you very much. And for me, I was sworn in at the county level on Thursday. They have to swear in. Okay, so next on the agenda, we have, I'm going to do for President Pro Tem. I would like to reappoint Scott Phillips, President Pro Tem, so if I could have a motion.
I'll make a motion we reappoint Scott as President Pro Tem.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Next, we have council appointments. As the elected mayor, I have the authority to appoint, subject to the confirmation of the majority of the council, specific positions. Therefore, we would like to appoint Larry DeRee as town manager, Lindsay Ryan as town attorney, and Mike McDermott as chief of police. And I would like to, if everybody isn't good with that, we can have a motion to appoint those names listed in there.
I make a motion that we appoint the above listed positions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Next, we have approval of the previous month's minutes. Has everybody reviewed the minutes?
Yes.
And are there any addition or corrections? And if there are not, then I'll take a motion to accept, to approve the minutes as distributed.
Make a motion we approve the minutes.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Next we have the solar panel project update. Mr. Scott Kane, you can step up to the podium, please.
Oh, what? Okay.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to the new council members. And I'd just like to say, as Dave Marine is leaving, he's been very helpful to me in guiding me through the process of getting solar panels installed, as have you, Mayor, and town manager. So thank you for all of your activity on that regard. Larry and I were talking and kicking around that they thought it might be, he thought it might be a good idea for me to come and just sort of summarize what we're doing. Let me briefly do that, and then I can answer any questions that you may have. So it's been a project that started on August 10th of 2020, when we were notified to proceed after winning a competitive bid. So in August, we cleared the land, planted grass, and built a fence around the site. And then there was a little bit of a pause until we got the soil test back to make sure that the soil was going to support the solar fields. And it keyed into our design as to how deep we put the pilings and things like that. So we then did some engineering, and we installed what we call the racking, all those posts and everything, in October. And then we installed the solar panels and what we call the inverters that convert the solar electricity to electricity that Delmarva Power can use. So we completed all of that, and the project was done in just before Christmas of last year. Pretty much at that point, it was up to Delmarva Power. They gave us the green light with the document on February 19th of 2021. And that allowed us to say, okay, here's how much it's going to cost for the interconnection. And Larry and the town made application to MDE for additional funds to do that. That's still in the process of approval, but we moved. Larry, as town manager, found ways to move us ahead and get us going. So Delmarva Power then completed interconnection to their grid so that we could connect the solar field to the grid and produce power. So on September 24th, it was quite a group out there. We had some 20 people from Delmarva and the engineering firm from Rao and everybody, and we made the connection between the solar panels and the grid. So at that point, we're producing power. So for the past week, what we've been doing is measuring the power, testing the panels, testing the system, and I'm here to report everything is working perfect, delivering all the power that we promised to deliver to you. And all of the new technology that we got, there's a little bit of delay beginning, but that allowed us to get newer technology for the solar panels and the inverters. So you've got the latest and greatest equipment and the best engineering that we can give you. So that's our status. We're producing, it might interest you, about three quarters of a megawatt, 750 kilowatts of power into the grid right now. It's pretty substantial. And that'll travel through the grid to your wastewater plant and wherever else you decide, and MDE decides to take that power to alleviate your electric bills. All in all, by the time there's an additional approval that has to come from MDE for this additional work that Delmarva is asking for, it's about a $2 million project that the state of Maryland is funding. So it's great to have a partner like that. Right now, you might have a question. We are producing power, so if I connect the solar panels to the grid, we're delivering all that power into the grid. It's just that they have what's called a one-way meter, so they don't give you any credit for producing that power. So it's other than a tip of the hat and saying, great job. They don't give you any credit, or you don't get any money back for that power. We have one more step to do, and they require the communication. A device that would allow them to shut the solar panels down should they so desire, and also to test and see how much power the panels are producing. We've done the second half of that so that they can now see all the power that we're producing, but we have one more thing to do, and that's work with Delmarva to get what's called a shutdown command so they can shut down your system should they ever desire to do that. That's really easy to do. I don't see any problems in that. We're doing the engineering and everything on that right now. With Delmarva's cooperation, and I hope we get that cooperation, we should be able to get that. I'm hopeful in the next couple of weeks or so. Once that's done, you'll have a letter to operate, which means that I can throw the switch and you will be getting credit for all that electricity that you're providing into the grid. So that's basically where we've been and where we are today, and we think in another couple of weeks we'll be done. So thank you for all your help and support, Mayor. You've been very helpful in the whole process. And just a shout out to Larry, too. He's been incredibly helpful in this whole process of getting this thing moving. Any questions that you have of me?
I do have a question. So do they have to, can they let us know, or do they have to let us know, or can they just flip that switch and shut us off without telling us?
They can.
Okay. And do we get an alert if it goes offline?
That's a good question. I don't know that we get an alert. However, the system that you've got is installed. You can constantly monitor that system, and it will tell you how much electricity it's producing at any time. It also has a system. If there's an error or problem, it'll alert us so we can come and repair the system. I think that's the way that you would determine if it's not working.
Okay, and where do the alerts go? Are they, I mean, does the system send it to, like, an email address? Does it broadcast?
The notices will be up on the Internet. So
okay.
It will be a website. And if you wanted to, I mean, it's good fun for school kids and everything to see how much power you're producing,
mm-hmm.
and the work that you're doing for climate change and the environment. You could put a monitor up here any place in the in your offices and have that. You can log on from home and see it.
Okay. And then is there anything that, I'm sorry, so if they do shut it down and they flip the switch to turn it back on, there's nothing that needs to be done? The system should automatically reboot itself and come back online correctly?
They have to call us and give you the authority to turn it back on, and you have to take some action to turn it back on.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll be sending you all this documentation as we wrap up what we call as-builts and sort of some operational things that you need to be aware of and figure us out.
What type of event would trigger them to shut it off, shut it down?
I don't know.
It could be,
it's just that
they just reserve the right.
It's just that they want to do it. They could, I think, conjure up some sort of event. I can't imagine what that would be.
Okay.
Because if it were something where they had to shut down the grid power in that area, they just shut down the grid power in that area, and that would shut us down. So it's always seemed sort of superfluous to me, and it's surprising to those of us in the industry that they're requiring it. All of my compatriots that are installing systems, they're having to do the same thing. It's a brand new requirement.
Okay.
And Delmarva being Delmarva, they don't tell us why. They just say, let's do this.
I got a picture of a meter like it on the side of my house. Is that how they calculate the amount of electricity that's been being generated?
It's exactly the same. It's called a commercial meter, so it's a little bit more robust. But if you go out there on the site, and Larry comes out and checks it all the time, you'll see that meter that's there, and it looks just like a meter that's on the side of your house. It right now is a one-way meter. They'll be upgrading it to a two-way meter so that you get credit for the power. But it'll very much look just the same to you. It's more a matter of the internals of it. It sits on a big box called a metering cabinet inside the fence.
We've got one up at the firehouse same way.
Yeah, it's exactly like the system that we have out at the firehouse. And that's worked well, Larry, David, for what, 5 years now?
At least 5 years.
Yeah. So it's,
I think, probably longer.
Yeah. And we've had a couple of outages, but we repaired those.
So do you have the auto, do you have it where the remote shutoff is on yours also?
I don't know. We have a remote shutoff because it's
maybe before they.
Yeah, this is before started getting a lot of something.
Right.
So that's really the way it's going to work and interoperate. So there's not much to do other than to wait for. Well, we have to do some more engineering to make sure we can handle the shutdown command. But other than that, I'm hopeful that we're getting this letter to operate pretty quickly.
So I'm assuming they would test that with you once the new meter is in place. For the final steps, they would do the remote shutdown, and then you guys would make sure when we turned it back on, everything comes up properly and
yes,
online.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you all the procedures and processes to do that so you can read them and follow through and understand. And I'm still here. I mean, just a phone call away if you've got any questions.
I got one. Is the meter set up for a backlash from the power?
I'm not sure.
If you have a power surge back?
They handle all the power surges within Del Marva, so that's under their control. So their power is pretty reliable. Some people out there on Frank Adams say it's a little fluctuating, but they've looked at it. They don't see anything. The major thing is if there's a power outage, if Del Marva takes a power outage, their grid shuts down, and the way our system is set up, it has to be set up, it shuts down at the same time. So it can't be running when they're down. That's just the way that works. But it's up and running now. I just throw the switch on, and it generates 3/4 of megawatts of power. It's running great.
Great. Can't wait till we can start seeing that benefit.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next we have discussion of the Halloween and trick-or-treat for 2021.
Madam Mayor, Member of Council, trick-or-treat is on a Sunday this year, so we've got the rules from October 1, 2007. If there's any discussion, amendment, change, or anything you'd like to discuss before the town goes public with the rules for trick-or-treat and Halloween, that's why they have brought it forward.
I didn't have any rules or changes. I know the VFW is doing the trunk-or-treat on the Saturday the 30th.
I did check with some of the neighboring towns. Preston, Greensboro, and Ridgely are all doing it on the 31st. Denton is the only municipality local to us that is doing it on Saturday, for what that's worth.
I think Denton is even looking at, they put a poll out.
They did. Keith Johnson had
that. I didn't see if that was finalized or not. I tried to look today.
I had a conversation with the mayor of Greensboro, and he said that they did do a poll, and based on their poll, their residents wanted it on the 31st. They did not want it on another day. So,
I'm a firm believer Halloween is Halloween, so.
Yeah, 31st is good with me.
Okay, so do you need a motion for us to just go forward when you can post the stuff?
Please.
Okay. Can I get a motion that we, the Fettlesburg, will officially do Halloween on October 31st and keep the rules as posted?
So
I need that motion.
Correct.
Yes.
But so we're changing it then, because this is the 30th.
Oh, well, that's because, is that because we had the trunk or treat?
No, it says that when it's on a, when it falls on a Sunday, we move it to Saturday. So that's really what the conversation is.
Okay. So do you want a motion to change that policy? That we're keeping it on the 31st?
That's why staff brought it forward. we have folks are already calling town hall wanting to know about Halloween.
Do we
want to change the whole policy, or do we just want to do it this year and take each year by as it comes, or...
I think we need to change the whole... my opinion is Halloween and it needs to stay on Halloween.
Right.
But that's my opinion and that's my view. I think moving it around just confuses people as to now they're calling town hall to see when they get to trick-or-treat when Halloween is the 31st, so...
I agree with that.
I do as well, which is why I sort of investigated. So
I'll make a motion. We change the policy to read that trick-or-treating would be done on Halloween Day, no matter what the other week it is, and accept everything else.
The rules as stated.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Halloween is on Halloween, on October 31st. Okay, next we have the ARPA CSL FRF drawdown.
Madam Mayor, Member of the Council, this is the follow-up to the discussion discussion at the last meeting relative to the ARPA drawdown for information technology upgrade, air purification system, totaling not to exceed of $13,100, which constitutes 0.5% of the town's total allocation. Given the relatively small expenditure and flexible nature of these eligible uses, Dan is proposing the procurement and payment anytime from present through June 30th of 2022, so it will round out our fiscal year. Following the discussion at the work session, there was a discussion about premium pay, and there was consensus to move forward with a $1,500 payment out of premium pay for the town's staff, essential employees, all of whom were designated essential employees during the period of the pandemic. That drawdown represents a sum of $33,000 even. It's the personnel are tied to the September 23rd payroll, which is the closest to the meeting date. And it just constitutes a little bit more than 1%. So adding the IT equipment and the air purification system to the premium pay totals of staff proposed drawdown of $46,100, or 1.76% of our allocation, added to the previous approvals. We're at a total, this would be a total of $269,505, or 10% of the town's total allocation. And then include IT upgrades previously, contribution to the Middleburg Volunteer Fire Company, and payment for lost revenues on the building inspection side during the time when the building inspector couldn't access people's buildings to do inspections, including the rentals. So that's where we stand with the ARPA, proposed ARPA drawdown. Keep in mind the RFQ for the water meter project is still out. So when that comes in, it comes in. But with the $269,505, we should be good for the rest of the fiscal year and reserve the lion's share that's left, which is still approaching $1.1 million for the water meter project. So staff at this point recommends approval of a drawdown of $46,100 as expenditures and obligations from the American Rescue Plan Act, coronavirus state and local fiscal reserve funds to the town treasurer through the eligible expenditures cited above.
Stephen, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, if there aren't any, can I get a motion to approve the drawdown of $46,100 for the expenditures and obligations listed as explained?
I make a motion we approve $46,100 from the rescue plan.
Any second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have the request for qualifications for professional engineering services update. The town received 5 proposals in response for the request for qualifications for engineering services. Proposals were received from RAL Incorporated, GMB, Lane Engineering, Wallace Montgomery, and Davis Bowen Friedel.
Madam Mayor, members of council, you've received those packets in previous emails. All were received and posted at least by the due date of September 22nd. So now is the selection process. So staff's bringing forward suggestions, not necessarily recommendations, of next steps, which include having this as a discussion or future work item, or scheduling in-person or video conferencing firm presentations at a future public meeting.
So do we need to have all 5 come back, or should we each pick our top 3 and bring back our top 3?
Whatever you might think appropriate as a consensus, 3 is fair out of 5.
I would think so.
two might not be fair out of five.
Right.
Three would be fair out of five.
I mean, it's, we can bring all five back. It's up to whatever council decides they want to do.
I mean, I would think we could eliminate one or two of them just by simply looking.
Yeah. Oh, probably need to check the... Oh, yeah, she's really low.
Barely.
Can you... In the... Hold on, Lindsay.
There we go.
Got it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I was going to say is if you pick three out of five or anything less than all five, just make sure your reasoning for picking those three or for eliminating two is clearly stated on the record.
Okay. So, well, we got the extra packet today, the additional one. I think that was like 40 pages worth of reading. So do we want to bring back our recommendations for the workshop meeting and decide whether we want to bring back three or five after we've all read through the packets of information?
Yes.
Okay. And then we can decide if we're going to do three or five based off qualifications. And then we could state for the record why we're doing the three or the five. And then
yeah, I would do that.
Okay. And then I would like to have them come in, you know, personally present them.
Okay.
Okay. Next we have University Avenue speed control measures. Time to enter Dree.
Yeah. Members of the council, University Avenue is frequently cited for speed and other issues related to operation of motor vehicles down the center of the road or speed or what have you. Signage and marked crosswalks aiding pedestrians' safety are only found at the intersection of University and Academy by the school. Everything else is not. So there's no way to mark a crosswalk. University Avenue is, of course, kind of a mix of residential, commercial, industrial at both ends. So there's all sorts of uses that go on that street. It's wide and it's straight, so it sort of by design invites speed. So how to address the issue of speed can be done by physical barriers, which is the information presented here, but there's also enhanced invisible police presence or signage, public information campaign, etc. Right now, what we've got is the physical barrier discussion, and which is to say speed bumps or speed humps, is depending on who you ask. But they certainly are one way to slow down traffic. Not the only way, but they're certainly one way. So in the research staff's done, I've just generated what some of those product standards should look like, should council decide to go that way. And they speak to themselves, heavy duty quality to absorb the weight of the truck traffic, which we still have on that street. There are certain trucks that just won't stop running down that street, including the mail truck. So in spite of the signs, best effort, there's truck traffic in places where the signs say no truck traffic. We just have to cope with the idea that there's still going to be trucks on that street. So heavy duty quality bumps to absorb the weight of the trucks. You find various widths. Frequently you find them in 6 inches. Staffs recommend them a little bit more of a robust barrier at 10 to 12 inches in width and 2 inches in height at the center. Minimum length of 6 feet, so those can be spread out. And then black and yellow are otherwise striped to mark for enhanced visibility. Again, one of the issues with crosswalks anywhere is that they're painted at grade, so unless there's corresponding signage, arguably people don't know that there's a crosswalk ahead. The upside of the crosswalks at University and Academy is they're all very well marked with signage, and there's also the red light stops, the solar powered stops, I guess. So as a result, you know, we do have some visibility there, but again, that's what we've got. So if there's any intention to put speed bumps in, they should be marked and visible, and not just sort of these, you know, black lines of asphalt, because the goal is to slow people down, is not to not to damage their vehicles. So just saying, those are product standards. Pending additional discussion, the staff recommends the mayor and council provide direction to staff.
Does it present a problem for the snowplow?
It can. It can present a problem for a number of things, snowplow being one of them. That would just need to be taken into consideration. And certainly, there's other ways in the great expanse from Bloomingdale all the way down past Maple. There's other ways to slow traffic. More signage, public information campaign, and enhanced police presence, etc. I'm certainly not proposing speed bumps along the way, but that area around, especially where you have pedestrian traffic around the school, around the Judy Center, around the ball fields, that's probably the best location for anything that serves as a physical barrier to traffic. In which case, we would know they're there, and it becomes incumbent on the snowplow not to tear up our own stuff.
Chief, did you want to talk about the email you sent me earlier for the camera?
Yeah, I didn't realize that this was something that was going to be addressed, so I'm not prepared to discuss speed bumps in general. In general, I would oppose it on a roadway like that. Anecdotally is the only thing we can offer you. People speed on, generally on these roads that were built probably, and I wasn't here, but roads like that were probably built in the 70s. They're usually wider than they should have been because that's what they did in the 70s. And because it's wider, people tend to go faster on it. You'll notice the other streets in town are more narrow. That tends to reduce speed. It's a straightaway until you get to the school, and that promotes speed. Anecdotally, the speeds that we usually see averaged out there don't go more than 10 miles an hour over whatever the post is. We do enforcement. University gets a lot of enforcement. University also has very few accidents. So I think when I did a study on it a couple weeks back, we had, I think, a total of 3 accidents that had any link to university at all in the last 2 years. And there was no significant pedestrian injuries at all, and there was no personal injuries. They were hitting a parked car, you know, low-impact accidents. Having said that, if you want to impact the speed out there, then, you know, we're ordering a camera to monitor the speed and enforcement sign out there. The VFW has generously donated about half of the cost to do that. That will give us some more empirical evidence as to whether or not there's actually a speed problem there. When you do things like traffic safety issues, it should be driven by data. And we simply only have anecdotal data. The data that we do have doesn't support it because we don't have accidents that would say, hey, you have a problem. Enforcement efforts are usually driven towards areas where you have accidents because that's where you obviously have an issue. That being said, in a low-impact area like around the schools, if you're really trying to drive speed down, yes, you can put speed bumps in that one block, but the stop signs tend to do that on their own, and the congestion tends to do that as well. So if you want it further studied or you want some more information about it and what that entails in an area like that, it will be a problem for the plows. It is a problem sometimes for emergency vehicles. It can be a problem for people that are operating at a high rate of speed and they impact the bump and lose control of the vehicle because they don't know that it's there and they're a first-time arriver in Federalsburg, and they can lose control of the vehicle if they're excessive speeding. That's the only thing that I can offer you at this point in time. If you want to wait and defer it until after we study the actual speed that's in the area and see if that's something that's actually, you know, something, you know, that you need to do or need to control, you can also, you know, roadways can be designed to narrow them. You know, you can put islands, whether even if they're not physical islands, you can put structured islands down the middle of that road, a turn lane, you know, some type of reflective barriers. There's a lot of things that we can do that would tighten up that roadway and make people have to pay a little bit more attention and maybe control their speed a little bit more if that's what the council thinks is a problem. And that's really all I'm off the top of my head. That's what I'm prepared to offer you tonight. Those are just some other ideas. I just happened to send the mayor an email today relative to a camera proposal that somebody had, which in Maryland we can only do in the school zones and in construction zones. So the idea of putting up a ticket issuing, you know, system out there is restricted. And whether the town wanted to go that way or not, it's really going to be a cost issue for us. We have to either enter into an agreement or purchase the equipment and do it ourselves, both of which are not necessarily a proposal that you may not want to go that route. And that would be restricted to the school itself and the egress around it. So I think that's pretty much all I have. I mean, I can answer questions if anybody has something specific to it. But,
I mean, I know that's where the residents tend to reach out the most to me is the issue of speeding up there and the trucks, of course.
The fact about the trucks is that is something what the town manager referred to is always going to be an ongoing issue. It's a mixed-use roadway. It is clearly marked, and we've done all that we can with marking it as a town to defer that. We have eliminated a lot of truck traffic that used to come into town. We don't have nearly the semi-traffic getting misdirected, either on GPS or otherwise. A lot of that has to do with the signage that the town has put up and signage that SHA has put up, and that helps. It's not a total answer. People get confused about the size of vehicles that are allowed. You are allowed to have up to a one-ton truck. Well, that's an F-350. Most of the vehicles, for instance, that AccuTrench has, they look like they're larger than that, but in reality, they fall under the scope of vehicles that can travel that road. We don't have, if you want to really look at restricting some more vehicle traffic there, that might be something, because that used to be what we got complaints about. The trailers rattling, you know, people traveling through there and with those trucks making a lot of racket in the residential area in the early morning hours. We've tried to work with the business owner and modify that behavior. And that's the way we've approached most of this in town, because we want to be business friendly without causing problems to the residents. However, I will say that a lot of times the people who think there's speeding going on, look, 35 and a 25 looks pretty aggressive, you know. But from a standpoint like the speed cameras that they put up in a school area, they don't even issue tickets until you hit 10 over. So you've got to go before they're actually issuing those tickets. So that's kind of traditionally the way that I look at it is it can look like it's fast, but not necessarily be very fast. And the only thing that we have to go on is our radar enforcement that's targeting those areas. And I've already told you anecdotally what the average speed for us is around 35 to 36 miles per hour.
I personally don't think we need to do anything up there until we get a camera up and see what evidence come back on. I'm not in favor of speed bumps one way or the other. No matter what the evidence come back, there's got to be a better way than putting speed bumps down University Avenue. I'll prefer island of some type or something to
slow people down.
Change the dynamic of the road before I would say put speed bumps up there.
When I read this, the first thing I thought was if someone has a fire at their house, the last thing that I want is a fire truck slowing down for speed bumps. And unfortunately, they're either going to turn left on University or right on University when they respond. I like the idea of getting hard data from the camera, but what seems to have necessitated this is the idea that you've received phone calls. Between now and the next mayor and council meeting, could you keep a tally of how many phone calls you've received about speeding on University? And we could then at least see a preliminary number of what we're getting. Is that reasonable?
It is reasonable. And the design is another. I mean, hard structures is one thing. Paint is another. Mm-hmm. Correct me, Chief, it doesn't have this yellow stripe down the center of the road.
No, it is not a marked roadway.
And sometimes paint does wonders that concrete costs more to do.
Well, and also, when I'm talking structures, I know Salisbury use always like orange sticks or whatever that hook to the road. They got a couple of roads down there that were about like that down in Salisbury, nice wide ones, and they make the road actually weaves back and forth so it's not a straight shot going down University, where you still have easy flow, but it, a little more thought involved than just gassing it.
They did that on Isabella Street.
That's the one.
Yeah, because it was a heavy pass-through.
Yes.
And it was just like University. So they did that exact same thing. They modified it. They put a serpentine through there so it naturally slows traffic down. And that is an option. It's not an expensive option.
And I'm assuming it's still that way. It's been a while since I've been down Isabella, but
it is.
Most of the complaints I get is the section in front of the school. That's where the residents reach out to me because of the kids crossing the street and the bus letting off or somebody running out. That's where I get most of the between that stop sign and the end. It's like people get to the stop sign or they blow through the stop sign, but they get the stop sign and gun it to the end.
And I think it's on behalf of the town. You know, we have done a lot to try and improve safety at that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have invested with the school board partnering and putting up the flashing lights that only operate during times when there's egress into the school. And that's been helpful. It alerts people that there's a four-way there they need to stop. Those things didn't exist, you know, 2 years ago. So we have done a lot of things. We have increased the signage in the area. We've added about half a dozen signs dealing with truck traffic. We've also added speed limit signs in front of the school. So we have done and been very proactive. I don't know that we've waited long enough to see if that's going to happen. And I think the camera, the data collection, that's going to help us determine these things. And the cheapest next thing is the redirecting of traffic physically with paint and with markers. If you think, you know what, we got to really do something about this. Or maybe we consider a three-way stop somewhere mid-block. And that's an alternative, too. So maybe we look at either Central or one of the other blocks to have a three-way stop so that we break the pattern up and we slow traffic through the area. Mm-hmm. That's also what some communities will do, and it can be helpful.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad idea.
Those sticks that you put in the middle of the road, they're flexible, right?
Yes, so the fire truck could ride right over.
That sounds like experience talking over there.
I've hit the fire company. I know they'll drive right over.
That's what the speeders will be doing, too.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of kids that do that.
Yep.
Or slalom with their bikes.
But I have seen the three-ways very effective in some communities. Pocomoke had a street that was very similar to this in town. It was a straight shot from the river all the way out to the school. And they basically just broke down and put multiple intersections in there that were controlled. That doesn't mean people don't run stop signs. We know they do. But it allows another, you know, way for the town to try and control speed.
All right. Well, it'll be nice to see what comes off of the camera.
Mayor, can I say something?
Yes.
Is that East Isabella or West Isabella?
I think it is West.
It's West.
Good.
It's from like the top of the river to 13.
Yeah.
When is that camera coming be put up?
Well, it's probably on a ship out in the middle.
It's queuing up outside the port of L.A. right now.
When it gets here, I'll put an announcement on Facebook.
And
the first place I'm going to put it is in front of your house.
Yeah. In defense of him is, it's only about five people that come down a street like that. And if I had a gun, I'd like to shoot the tires out. Because we're in front of the school, and they run.
Did you hear that?
It's probably friendly.
But if they, my point is, these people are people that you know. These people are, you know,
right. It's
scary that they have grandkids of their own, they come down there. And they're running 40, 50 miles an hour. They ain't no 35.
Right after school lets out, too.
Right after school lets out is when it starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the camera will help us also target some of those people
in my driveway.
For driving licenses.
You can get them.
All
Yeah, park my driveway too.
So I think that'll be a help, and then we'll get that data and analyze the best way that we can start targeting the folks that are doing that. And
we'll do a report on it to the mayor and council, as the town manager, so that it can be a coordinated effort to step this thing out. I'll let you know when the camera's operational. It's battery operated. It has a LED display on it. So it does a lot for us as a presence, and without a police officer actually having to be there. And it's basically data-driven. It tells you the speed and the time that somebody came through, and that's enough for us to do what we're talking about.
I might want to borrow it on Main Street, too. Sometimes I feel like they're drag racing down South Main Street.
Yeah, well, that's one of the advantages of this system. It actually has a blue red light activated system on it, so that if you're speeding beyond a certain point on the marker, it actually activates like it's police lights. And that tends to make people believe that there's a camera involved, and that usually makes people slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So we can move it wherever we get enough brackets. The unit's battery operated. You charge it up. You stick it out there. It's good for a couple days. So that's the intent of the police department right now.
I like it.
Well, while we're on speeding through town, I was going to bring this up later, but it seemed like the appropriate time. Residents on Vesper have been complaining to me. There's no speed limit signs on there, and there's several houses on the west side of Vesper at the start of it with kids, and they said they're just Vesper, not Vernon, right?
Vesper 1 is east of Vesper.
Yes, Vesper. I'm going to make sure before I told you that. Yes, Vesper. They're talking about no speed limit signs, and didn't know if they could get a sign or two at each end. Said they're just turning a corner off University and tearing down to the far end. If we could have Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's why I double checked myself, Christy.
You're right. I'm sorry.
But Vesper doesn't go all the way down to Main Street. So
no.
That would be an awkward.
But
I mean, it does stretch those few blocks, but.
Yeah.
You get a nice little speed up before you get to the stop sign down at the bottom of it, so.
That street also doesn't have sidewalks.
Right.
So as a result, University, you get the folks with the in the motorized wheelchairs,
right?
And there's no safe place for them. There's no white stripe. There's no nothing. So.
And I'm also not saying the kids may not be in the middle of the road playing, which is a whole another discussion too. But we don't need the cars going after them either. So.
All right, good information. We'll look forward to the camera arriving.
Me too.
I think Montana Springs has one also.
That'll be nice. That'll be nice and helpful. There's quite a few streets where we could use the brackets, so maybe we should order extra brackets.
Data driven. Just know if you complain about speed, there's going to be a bracket right
there. I'm all right with that. I'm all right. Maybe we can get a 10-pack of brackets, and we'll just start rotating the camera around. That works. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Good information. Next, we have mayor and council action items.
Before we do that, should we do public comment? That wasn't on the agenda.
We can. If you'd like to do public comment, you can step up to that. Okay.
I think in regards to the water and sewer question, I guess relating to this, I think, Mayor, when in some of your campaign information, it's stated or made comment about the ability to pay water and sewer bills online.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I was asked, is there a charge to pay online?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me what the charge is? Is it percentage of the bill?
3%. It's 3%.
3%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else you'd like to step up? Okay. Next, we have Mayor and Council action items. Councilman Windsor.
I'd like to thank everyone for all their condolences, and I would especially like to thank the police department, the fire company, and Caroline EMS for all the support they did. Thank you.
Great. Councilman Sewell.
I just have a couple of dates to mention this evening. on October 16th from 10 to 4 is Heritage Day at the Federalsburg Historical Society, and all are welcome. And then that evening is Lions Club is sponsoring Night at the Races out at the VFW, which is always a really fun event. And then our next sandwich sale will be Friday, October 22nd, up at the Fire Hall. And other than that, I don't have anything.
Okay. Councilman Phillips?
Christy, did you say something about the chickens at 105? Did you remember that? Okay.
It was in
there.
I don't remember seeing it. Okay.
I think you sent a letter.
I must have looked over that. Thank you. And as we start another fresh 2 years, our planning and zoning, what are they doing? Anything?
They're working on updating the comprehensive plan right now.
Because I was pretty sure a year and a half, 2 years ago, we asked them about, is that going to take place, taking all the R2 out? Remember we asked about that? And I've not heard anything since we brought it up.
Well, I talked to Steve about probably a couple months ago, and they have they're having trouble getting a quorum.
Well, if that's the case, then we need to find people who want to serve and not keep having meetings. We need to move forward.
We had a discussion about that just the other day. So.
I mean, and how's that work on the committee that we appointed somebody? Can we just unappoint them? But they're appointed for a length of time, correct? So do we need to establish something where if you don't show up for three meetings in a row or something that you're no longer on the committee, we can find somebody who wants to do it?
Yeah.
Well, then I suggest we get that worked out and get moving on that right away.
The list of everybody that what their tenures are when their term expires. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some stuff I'd like to do with planning and zoning to get them a little more active and stuff in town. Having members participate would be very helpful. Mm-hmm. So they're functional.
Can I make a recommendation? Other places do joint work sessions with council and the functioning committees. So if there's an interest in doing a joint work session with council and the planning commission to kind of come to a set of priorities and a work plan, that might be a valuable step moving forward. Because comprehensive plan takes time to do it right. It, in a lot of ways, it's tedious, you know, it's words and their meaning and double-checking definitions and looking at the maps and all the rest of the stuff. Comprehensive plan update should take 2 years. And then, of course, the zoning ordinance needs work as well.
Right.
So, in fairness to the Planning Commission, there's, you know, issues with the quorum, there's COVID, so... I think they've done what they can do in the last 18 months.
I'm just saying that's what
I understand has been slower than whether it's the R2 or whether it's the comp plan. Things have just been slower.
Well, we've also had issues. There's and I don't even think we've gotten to the bottom of it. There are two zoning maps, and one of them reduces severely the R2, and one of them doesn't. And we've been unable to determine if the one that was done, I think, in 2012 was actually ever adopted or if it was just proposed, and so that's taken a while, too. Is it really done deep? What's it doing?
The zoning ordinance and the zoning map run together, but again, if there's an interest in looking at amending the zoning map first, and then get into the definitions and the uses within the zoning ordinance. That's an approach. I mean, if there are competing maps, make a determination
which map wins,
and then move forward with the comp plan and reflect in that map, rather than the comp plan changes the language and all of a sudden the map doesn't jive up with the language in the comp plan anymore, or the zoning ordinance either.
Right. So we have a lot more work to do on that one. Is that all?
Yes.
Councilman Willoughby?
So, thank you guys for your support and throughout that campaign that we just had. That was a lot of fun. I look forward to the next 4 years.
as preparing for tonight's meeting and preparing for the possibility of being elected, a couple questions that have come up. One, do we have a current published somewhere copy of the town charter and codes? Because what is on MML is from 2004, what is on Code 360 is from 2013. And I know there were charter amendments made just
there
in
were,
your
and
first
I had
term.
Sent you an email, so I
yes.
pulled a copy down off of MML, and I didn't know whether if we just send them an email, if you
I
sent them the copy and they didn't update
I have
it.
I have to send that in. I have
okay.
to get all the ordinances together and send that in so they'll do the upgrade.
So
okay.
I actually sent them.
Oh, okay.
It goes to the Department of Legislative Services. They only fix it and upload it once a year.
Okay.
So it's not like as you change it, they wait till the end of the year and then they'll do the amended one.
But we modified that in 2019.
Correct. And DLS puts it on Maryland Manual.
Yeah, I'll have them follow up. I don't know why they haven't done it. I've had the issue in Oxford too, mm-hmm. so it might just be on their end.
DLS puts it on Maryland Manual, and Maryland Manual is simply a link to Code 360, which is 2013. So, as a new person trying to get on to say, what are our ground rules, I don't know what our ground rules are. So if there is a new copy of the ground rules and you could share it with the members of the council, that would be appreciated, so that we all have that. In terms with that, and Scott was talking about planning and zoning, as I just tried to look at things, I had a question about the committees and the commissions and things that the town has, and do we have a list of all of those committees and commissions, the membership and their terms? And I say this personally, I was twice appointed to the Ethics Commission, we never met, but we have an ethics code that says that there should be annual reporting done by town employees and by elected officials. And as a member of the Ethics Commission for the last 5 years, we've never reviewed any of that reporting. Are we operating under our code? When it comes to Planning and Zoning Commission, the code says that we shall have 5 members, 1 shall be a member of the council, and 4 persons appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the council, and their term should be stair-stepped so that we should be replacing one each year, because the very first one, they were appointed to 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 year terms. They should be stair-stepped. When I look on the website, we have 5 members. A member of the council is not on that commission. Are we following the code there? So I'd like to see, what are the members of these commissions? What commissions exist? When did they last meet? When did their terms expire? And how did what we're doing jive with what our rules should be? Because that should be our first step. And that is a glaring thing just coming out of the box, is are we following our own rules? So maybe you could report back by our next meeting. I would appreciate that.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Well, you guys took the planning and zoning off the list. Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody that came out to vote. We had less than 200 people out of 1,600 people that vote, so I would certainly like to see some more people involved in, you know, instead of just complaining on Facebook, actually, you know, participate. And we've talked about having some committees, but we have, you know, committees and people don't show up to participate in the committees. So I get everybody's busy, but, you know, if we're going to make the town better, then we need everybody to participate in making the town better. So.
Well, it wasn't on Facebook today. It's Facebook's in
Facebook.
Well,
I know Facebook's
jail.
Down.
They're in Facebook jail today.
It's back up.
It's back up. It came back up right after the meeting started.
The world is okay.
Right. It just came back up, I think, at like 5:45 or something. Somebody flipped the switch back that, you know, I accidentally took it out. So, so it's good to see everybody here. Thank you for coming to the meeting. And, I'm excited to see the camera show up with the brackets. So with that, that's all I have. If anybody has anything else, then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I will say one more thing. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
My first term on the council, 2002 through 5, whatever it was, every council member was either sat on planning and zoning, was met with the chief on a weekly or monthly basis, somebody met with Steve, and it allowed each member of the council to have more of a hands-on feeling for each department, and that rotated every year. You would be assigned something different. just saying that it might not be a bad habit to get back into, something to think about anyway.
No, I like that. I've seen that before where there are actually committees and each person has a segment of a committee, and so they're responsible.
We had one that sat on economic development, one that met with the chief, one that met with public works.
I would say we'll start with
there's something else. No, I guess planning and zoning were the four of them. That would have four that the members took.
It may be worth it to take one of our work sessions and just sort of lay all of that out and actually have a planning work session where we plan what the next term looks like, the next 2 years look like.
I think that'll take more than 2 hours.
It might
I think
be.
That could be a full day retreat of of but. Planning for, but it's definitely would be a good start to look at all of our committees, everything that's out there, and see where we can participate. You know, maybe help get stuff on, like the Parks and Rec Committee that we're trying to get to meet. Maybe, you know, if one of us is working on that, then it might help move things along. If you've got somebody driving the bus.
Well, as you said, I've seen this before. Berkeley, Illinois did exactly that. Each elected official was the trustee. Those are called village trustees. Each one of the trustees had an assignment, basically a portfolio of one of the departments, and it changed up every year at the mayor's discretion.
Right. Yep, I like it. Anything else you
want? No, I'm good now.
Okay.
Rob?
Rob.
I'm good.
Make a motion. We adjourn.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Meeting adjourned.